Unike Outcast Podcast is the latest podcast to be partnered with the Geekcast Radio Network with its host, Jeremy Fine. What is Unike Outcast Podcast, you may ask? Well, it's a grab-bag gimmick of pop culture and non-pop culture events. One week I could be discussing Godzilla, one week I could be discussing some of the PG and PG-13 to R-rated Disney-esque movies, comics, getting on my soapbox, just ranting and raving. You never can tell. So check me out on iTunes, Hunnic Outcast Podcast, Twitter, Hunnic Outskirt, Facebook.com, Hunnic Outcast Podcast, and of course, syndicated shows section on the Geekcast Radio Network website. Finally, a podcast that will never be questioned, ever.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Partner Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio. This is episode 72. I am your host, TFG1 Mike. Steve Megatron couldn't be here. Some weird facsimile Godzilla swallowed him whole. Look, he's Godzilla. That's not Godzilla, dude. That's the only thing I like about Godzilla, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, is the Austin Powers Gold Member movie when the two guys are talking about it. We are continuing on with the Syndication Nation Spotlight. This time around, I've got Mr. Jeremy Fine from Hunnic Outcast Podcast. Hello, sir.
How you doing there, sir?
I could complain, but no one will listen.
Yeah.
So, when did you first become interested in podcasting, whether it was listening or you got your own idea to do your own podcast, or how did that start?
Well, actually, it goes back to 1997 when I was in Staten Island, New York. I was near Staten Island Cable, the public access studio, which was CTV. And some friends of mine were trying to put together a show about professional wrestling because we couldn't shut up about it for a while. We were pissed off how after 1995 the WWF turned to crap. So we decided to put together a show on the storylines mainly. You know, and this was going to be cutting edge because you had everybody talking about professional wrestling, but we were going to talk about behind the scenes, not to mention the fact we were near a few independent arenas where we got to meet Rowdy Piper and Duggan and Nikolai Volkov pretty much when their contracts expired with Vince McMahon and with, you know, what WCW, how it turned to crap. They would do a lot of independent circuits. So they would come to the bingo arenas and the you know, the fun stations, and it was okay. I mean, my original major in school was drama, then film and communications. But when it wasn't working out too well, because unfortunately with public access television, you had a lot of people that had a lot of ideas, but then after a while, they weren't getting paid for it, so they would just pick up and leave. So I realized the bills are piling. I would try to put together films and make films, but nobody really was interested. So I just transitioned to another major, which was sociology and psychology, but I would keep a minor in English literature and then eventually transition into nursing. But sometime in 2005 or 6, I started to hear about podcasting, how you can make your own independent radio show. And I tried to put it together, but my friends got back together with me, and we tried to do public access work again, and I just tried to do a show that would not deal with professional wrestling, because I would hear off camera how one person was interested in Godzilla movies, and another person was interested in, you know, doing voiceover work. And I was like, well, why don't we do a variety show? But then people just like picked up and left. So I put it off for a few years. And then in 2010 or 11, when I was just researching, you know, podcasting again and deciding, okay, who's doing what and why, so I don't step on any toes, Geekcast was the first one that I came across. And for about a year and a half, I was just hooked. I think the first one I was listening to was Tooncast. I think it was probably the Thundercats episode. And then I started listening to Batman. And as you know, I was hooked on Legends of the Dark Knight podcast. So, you know, I wrote a few reviews eventually. And then I was listening to Tooncast Beyond and listening to everything else you guys were doing. And I would subscribe to several other podcasts with Geekcast and non-Geekcast. And I got to, you know, guest on a couple podcasts here and there. Well, finally, I decided to say, okay, what can I do that could be original? And Hunnic Outcast podcast, I figured, let me do a grab bag gimmick. Let me do it where it's variety, like... Sometimes I'll do Godzilla. Sometimes I'll talk about Twilight Zone. Sometimes I'll talk about Batman 66. You know, stuff that I grew up watching and I could discuss. And it just kind of snowballed into that.
Thankfully, the Twilight Zone does not sparkle.
Yeah. Well, yes, yeah. Oh, God, no. You know what? Thank God that has just, you know, died. Poor Robert Patterson. What happened to him?
Yeah, let's not go there. All right. So what, outside of GCRN, what other shows have you listened to? What other influences do you have as far as crafting your own show?
Well, the ones that I've subscribed to, the non-Geekcast, there's Disney Film Project, which influenced me because they were discussing the family-friendly Disney movies. So I would go on their Facebook page and I'd write a couple fan reviews, you know, Wreck-It Ralph and Return to Oz. And they invited me to, you know, I've guested on the Return to Oz and Monsters Incorporated and Lone Ranger and Winnie the Pooh. And we just sat down, we analyzed, we discussed why we like these films. And the reason was is because, you know, a couple of them are parents and they want to bring their love for Disney films. And some of them you haven't even heard of. Or some you know forgot about that it used to be on NBC on Sunday nights, you know, like Mr. Boogity. And they discussed them, and it was a great show. Another one was Torgo's Pizzeria podcast, where they would just discuss TV shows that they used to watch in the 80s and 90s, like the Beetlejuice cartoon and In Living Color. And they would just discuss like the pros and cons of the shows. It influenced me because I realized how I should craft my own show. Should I just discuss like the pros and cons? Should I analyze it? Should I give my philosophical or psychological aspects? And I figured the best thing that I should do is, because I have a degree in psych and sociology and English literature, I should give the psychological and some philosophical obstacle aspects of what I feel, why I like certain shows and the characters and the pros and cons. And I figured, as I said, with the grab bag, at least I'm not sticking with one topic. Because I felt in the past if I would stick with one thing, I was even boring myself and I would trail off a lot. Because I would compare one piece of pop culture to another and I figured, okay, I keep trailing off. Let me break it down into different episodes, into different topics. And this way it would be a little bit, you know, sticking with the subject. And it's worked because the shows that I picked and how I've broken them down, the Godzilla movies, originally I was calling them Kaiju, Bless You, You're Welcome. But I found it to be a little bit insulting to the Japanese culture because I've realized that the Japanese monsters are based on gods and deities of their culture. And I've picked up a book called Jap-America. And it's an interesting book, and it deals with the author who is American, but he had to live in Japan for a while because his father had to move around because his father was in the army. So he would compare Japanese culture to American culture, movie-wise and TV-wise. So I've changed the title of that show to respect the culture a little bit more. With Simpsons, I've come across my co-host Rachel, where we discuss maybe 4 or 5 episodes of a season of Simpsons, because I've been watching it as a kid. She doesn't watch it as much as I do, so she'll just pick like a few episodes, like she'll pick 2 and I'll pick 2, and we'll break them down and we'll say like why we enjoy these episodes over the years. Soapcast, I've just got on a soapbox and I've ranted and raved. One of them, when Blockbuster officially closed a few months ago, I discussed, you know, how the mom and pop stores were, you know, destroyed by these corporate stores, but then they were destroyed by internet corporate stores. And what really destroyed the Blockbuster Corporation, and I think it was just, you know, was a bad customer service, or was it the fact that people just didn't want to go to Blockbuster anymore? You know, did people find the convenience with Netflix, even though I do miss Blockbuster? And I went on the soapbox saying, like, what the pros of Blockbuster were and what the cons of Blockbuster were. Soapcast has gotten some interesting feedback because they like the fact I just go on a soapbox and I'll rant and rave for 15, 20 minutes. This way it breaks it down a little more.
Yeah. There was one of those that I had a huge issue with.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Come on, man. You put Tone Loke and the vice president in Iron Man 3 in a movie with a kid who has a computer. You're telling me that's not a good movie? Come on now. Blank Check was awesome.
You know, it's funny because when I was guesting on Disney Film Project, there was a 50-50 chance we were going to be reviewing that movie. But it turned out the bullet was dodged and we ended up talking about Winnie the Pooh. And then a couple of days later, they were going to be talking about Blank Check. And I listened to what they had to say and I figured, you know what, I got to put in my own 2 cents. But, you know, they, with Disney Film Project, and of course it makes sense, they want to have it with 2 guys and 2 girls, because they've tried it in the past where they've had 3 guys and 1 girl, and unfortunately it gets to a point where they need variety. They need the female and the male perspective on that, and that makes sense. But and also the family aspect. For me, when I saw Blank Check, I was 16 at the time, and I had to take my cousin because he had to see this movie because he loved Home Alone. But for me, it was a Home Alone knockoff. Yeah, it has Tone Loke. I love him. It's got, I guess, that drop-dead CIA, FBI agent, whatever she is, which, yeah, she was a model, and she has done better work down the road. And, of course, it's got the guy from Barton Fink, who, of course, is Musburger. But the problem with all of that is that I don't care about Brian Boswell. He sounds like he has a sore throat, but he was forced to go on set. And he's not likable or interesting, and he just kills it. And, of course, they discussed the plot on Disney Film Project, and I've discussed the plot, where it's just creepy that a 13-year-old kid is in love with a 25-year-old woman, and she's okay with this. It just feels for a Disney movie just like bugged me. And it's the only one that I just had to stop the review because I just couldn't do it anymore. I just was breaking down that plot and I was like, no, it's the only one where I just had to stop halfway, and that's why I did it on a soapcast and not on anything else.
Well, I mean, you know, depending, you know, regardless of opinion, I mean, the movie made its money back. It had a $13 million budget. It made $30
million. Yeah, but what cost?
Well, see, here's the thing I look at it, because at the time when this came out, I was 14, and I had a huge crush on one of my dad's employees. Her name was Melissa, and she was 10 years my senior. So there's nothing wrong with having a crush on an older woman. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I think of movies like this, and I don't think you've done Big Fat Liar on Soapcast. I hope you never do it on Soapcast, because that movie is amazing too. I look at Blank Check as being the 90s version of what 2002's Big Fat Liar was, where it's a kid getting to do what, like, Blank Check is what all of us as kids wanted to do was just do our own thing, you know, just have everything we could ever want and play with. That's really what it is. I mean, sure, he wants to be respected and everything else, but what I find unbelievable about that movie is how he uses the Macintosh technology to fool everybody.
Yeah.
And I wonder how at the time in 94, I wonder how Apple and Steve Jobs felt about this movie.
I don't know. I mean, the research they didn't say much. I know that. It never showed up on the news. Disney Film Project, they didn't bring up anything. The only thing they brought up was that function Speak Talk, I believe.
Right.
You know, there were better movies and ideas, but the problem, I mean, even with Home Alone 3, they tried to do this. But with Blank Check, the kid is talking through this thing as he sounds like, I smoked one too many cigarettes, and now I have to talk with a voice box that Ned does with South Park. And the fact that in real life, I understand that this kid wants to live on his own, and he gets the blank check, and he gets $1 million, and he spends it like crazy. And this has been discussed on other podcasts and viral videos as well. What he's spending with that $1 million, even to buy the house, which is bizarre, all the other stuff, he would have been spending that money in 5 minutes. It's just, I understand realistically that's something a kid would want to do, but rationally, it just wasn't jiving. And as for Big Fat Liar, that's a phenomenal movie. If it ever does end up on Soapcast, which if it does, it will not be because I bash it. If it's on Soapcast, it's because I praise it. I went into that movie with high expectations, and I left Big Fat Liar with high expectations. It was a Frankie Muniz and, of course, Paul Giamatti, and even Amanda Bynes, who I miss. And it was that was probably one of the more underrated movies. It felt like something out of the 90s, and it paid off, and it has a great ending. And I love that that line where you're like, they told me to pick up this guy, but they didn't tell me to pick up this blue man.
They told me I was picking up a little blue car. They didn't say anything about a little blue man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great underrated classic.
And to think, in 2002, this came out, and Spider-Man came out. Now to think, nearly, 12 years later, or whenever it's going to... Well, yeah, 12 years later... Amazing Spider-Man 2 comes out, and the little blue man is Rhino.
Oh, God, you know. If only he was Chameleon with his rubber face and his personality, or he could have been Electro. That would have made sense, because Electro is blue. But, you know, that would have made so much more sense. But I had a lot more to say, because I did get the guest on the in-depth. I have a lot of problems, and the biggest problem I have is why they feel the need to kill Gwen Stacy because it happened in the comics. I've heard stories that Marvel regrets ever killing off Gwen Stacy, that people, ever since Mary Jane showed up, and again, there have been discussions and viral videos and whatnot. I don't know what Mary Jane is like in the comics, but I know what she's like in the movies. And in the movies, I'm not impressed. I like Gwen Stacy. I like Emma Stone. I don't like her because she's sexy. I like her because she's sexy and fun. I don't... And even though I think Mike Dodd brought up the fact how Gwen Stacy had to flip a switch. Yeah, because Peter Parker and Spider-Man, you know, whatever the case may be, they can't be everywhere at once. They need that... You know, that's that sidekick or whatever the case may be, and the voice of reason. And to me, that's what she was. So I think that that's going to be irreplaceable, and then we have to put a Mary Jane. You know what? I'm going to say it right now. Issue, I think, 500 of Spider-Man, One More Day. I praise Joe for writing that issue. Thank you, good sir, for breaking up Mary Jane and Peter Parker. Give me Gwen Stacy.
You know what? After reading Amazing Spidey 606, give me Spidey and the Black Cat.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
No, don't give me the Black Cat from Spider-Man 2, though. Don't give me that Black Cat. from Amazing Spider-Man, if that's who that's supposed to be.
No, Amazing Spider-Man number 606, oh, the comic book.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, you know.
Yeah. No, it would basically be Felicia Hardy from the 94 cartoon series.
Oh, yeah, Jennifer Hale. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. But I do want to say one more thing after watching Amazing Spider-Man 2. The other thing is that also felt like a 2.5 hour preview. Like, we're just going to rush. Here's the other thing that I have a problem with comic book movies, and I was going to put this on a soapcast as well. I feel that every comic book movie now is that they have to build up towards a sequel. Like, the sequel's on its way. Don't worry. We're already working on it. Wikipedia has assured you, the audience, that even if this first movie sucks, we're under contract to do 2 more sequels. Now we find out that Spider-Man 3 and 4 may take longer. And that the spinoff of the Sinister Six is a coming, but we don't know when. So they kind of shot themselves in the foot with that. And I feel that this is why kids have ADD. Because it just, all that movie was a 2.5 hour preview.
I mean, see, the problem I have with the Amazing Spider-Man films is they don't, there's zero continuity with them. I mean, sure, it you know, first film starts off and, well, it's not really that zero continuity. It's more so that it's, they give us stuff in the trailers and never pay off in the film. Like, Amazing Spider-Man 2, all that stuff about Harry and Peter talking more in depth about why Osborn was after him never happened in the movie. It was only in the trailer.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is that they're doing this with a lot of movies. It's like the saving of the deleted scenes because they're so concerned about putting in characters and substance and figuring that everybody is not, you know, even though we're rigorously watching those trailers, they're more concerned about setting up the sequel. Oh, well, we didn't put that scene in, but don't worry, it's going to happen in the sequel. I don't want the sequel. I want to know what's happening right now while I'm watching this movie. I don't care about the Sinister Six showing up. I don't care about, you know, you're bringing in Harry Osborn and Norman Osborn, who are probably the two of the most important people in the Spider-Man universe, and you just throw them aside. And not only that, as much as people have problems with James Franco, he had more personality than this guy who's playing Harry. I just don't feel anything for this one. And as Chris Cooper or, you know, he's a great character actor, it would have been interesting to see him. I know people love Willem Dafoe. I would like to see what Chris Cooper could have done as Green Goblin.
Yeah, you know, as Norman Osborn specifically, I think Cooper does a slightly better job than Dafoe. You know, I don't know. The whole thing with Willem Dafoe is that stupid mask. The
Power Rangers mask, which unfortunately I feel they should have used makeup.
They could have done something. All right. So, what are you hoping to accomplish out of Hunnic Outcast podcast?
Well, pretty much just still trying to gain an audience. As I said, I enjoy the grab bag gimmick. I hope to accomplish at least what I'm taking each and every episode, whether I'm discussing Godzilla movies or, you know, other Japanese culture movies, because I'm trying to branch off from Godzilla. There's only about 26 somewhat movies, including the brand new one that just came out. I'm trying to get people into the culture and the society of what Japan is trying to do, because what I love about the book Japan America, the authors brought up something else that's interesting. With even though anime, or at least, you know, with Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, yeah, they are card toy-esque commercials, toyetic, he does bring up something like Spirited Away. He loves the fact that it's not something like Shrek, where they're so concerned about pop culture references or trying to talk in today's lingo. They're trying to tell a story. And I'm trying to branch off from a Godzilla movie and talk about other Japanese movies that I'm starting to appreciate and trying to tell people what's out there and what else could come from Japan. Movie-wise, TV-wise, history-wise, with Soapcast, I try to accomplish just something that I don't think could be done, which is an articulate rant. You know, it's not easy, but I try not to just go up there and rant and rave like a complete and utter lunatic on what my points are trying to go across. With something like The Mouse That Roared, as I said, Disney Film Project, they like to do family-friendly, which is great. I'm trying to do the non-family friendly so much, like the PG-13 and the rated R, like the affiliates. And with something like Shut Up and Take My Money, which is another show I'll be working on down the road, reviewing stuff that I'm just making insane purchases and why. Like, as you know, Batman 66 is finally coming out on Blu-ray DVD, and there's that special limited edition set where we're going to get the Hot Wheel Batmobile and trading cards and whatnot. And, of course, the set is $189. Well, I'm going to justify why I want to spend that money and review it. And also with the Batman 66 action figures, like, they came out with an Egghead action figure. I bought that figure and justify why I bought it. And my review system, of course, is like 0 to 2, it's going on eBay. 2.5 to 3.5. May have had a little buyer's remorse, but I'll deal with it. And 3.5 to 5 would be Shut Up and Take My Money. And for the Egghead action figure right now, I think it's going to be a solid 5 out of 5 because it is Vincent Price, and there is a lot of love that goes into that action figure, the articulation, the design of the suit. It's not just hard plastic. You know, with toys back, I mean, this is a toy that you don't want to take out of the box. This is a toy that you really want to keep in the box and preserve. And there's a lot of detail towards his suit and the face paint, as well as another action figure I picked up, the Brain Gremlin from Gremlins 2. I have not taken that out of the box. The way the paint job is done, the accessories that the action figures come with the Brain Gremlin, the brain hormone test tube, and the Book of Civilization. I mean, these are things that I want to hold on to, and these are the collectibles and the justifications of whether or not they should be kept or go on eBay. And the final one that I'm going to be discussing is a Star Wars Disney playset where it's Mickey Mouse as Luke Skywalker, Pete as Boba Fett, and he's inside the Sarlacc pit because he's so fat he can't get in. Minnie Mouse, she is Leia, and the slave costume, and Goofy, of course, is Han Solo, and Pluto is Chewbacca. And this was a Disney World exclusive because this is when, you know, Lucasfilm was sold to Disney. So I enjoy that little. That's also something that's going to be reviewed. As for any other podcast that I try to break down and discuss, it's just going to be not just thoughts and opinions, justifications to get more people into said culture, because it's not just it. The 21st century to me is more about acceptance. It's bizarre that back then, and people have asked me, what is Hunnic Outcast? And back in 1997, I was friends with someone who was into the goth culture, so we tried to put together this magazine on the culture, and I came across a thesaurus on Strange, and the word Hunnic came up. Outcast is something I've always been, and that's just where it stuck. As for Outskirt, he just showed me parts of Staten Island that I didn't even know existed. So that's pretty much where that all comes from. But it's just that since the comic book conventions weren't so big in the 90s, they become bigger now, especially since there's corporate and non-corporate. So it's just helping people understand why we love comic books. It's not just because of collecting toys. It's how artistic we've become. And I feel that that's pretty much how to send the message. It's not just something like Big Bang Theory. Well, I have this playset, I'm going to keep it on my shelf for years. No, there's a reason why, of what inspired me to watch Batman, what has inspired me to try to write my own Batman comics, what has tried to inspire me to draw, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's see here. What do you have coming up in the next couple of weeks for the show?
Well, I tried to do a theme month, which worked pretty well. I have come across a co-host, Wyatt Jones, who also shares a love with Japanese culture and non. So we actually put together a giant robot month, and we discussed the Transformers movie that came out, and we did a Bayformers versus Transformers. We've discussed the Ultraman TV series. We also discussed, since, you know, July 23rd was Batman Day, we discussed 37 of my favorite Batman villains, mainly because for this year, I'm 37 years old. So I'm playing with the 37 gimmick. But for the month of August right now, I'm going back to discussing a Japanese monster that seems to have some great public relations. He's a friend of all children, and on Mystery Science Theater 3000, he's a turtle that's really neat, a turtle that's made of meat, Gamera. And we were discussing the Gamera movies of the 1990s that people kind of forgot about, because when they think of Gamera, they think of the Gamera movies on MST3K. And we will be discussing the non-riff Gamera movies, but there are three of them that came out in 1996, 1997, and 1998. Although in Japan they came out in 95, here they came out in 96, 97, and 98, but they're on Blu-ray, and they're reasonably priced, and they're actually, you know, even though Godzilla's gotten a reboot, Gamera may get a reboot in 2015, and he got one in 1996, and they're pretty good movies. So we're going to be discussing those, and in September, Toho is releasing several movies on Blu-ray, including Rebirth of Mothra, which back then, and by back then I mean a few months ago, the third Rebirth of Mothra movie was out of print, and it was being sold on eBay for insane prices. Now it's being released on Blu-ray. We've decided to put together a Mothra month, and we're going to be discussing the original Mothra, Godzilla versus Mothra, Rebirth of Mothra, and of course the reboots of the 90s, Battle for Earth and All Monsters Attack. For October, we haven't really decided so much yet, but we do think we're going to be doing, you know, for Howl Week, which is something I tried to do last year, where I took a week and I decided to discuss the Scary Stories trilogy of the 80s. This year, I think I'm going to do another zombie month and probably discuss the Marvel Zombies comic book series and the Return of the Living Dead novelization of the movie, which is much different than the Return of the Living Dead movie that we saw in the 80s. There are two different versions, and you're going to hear the non-comedic version of that. So, and in 2015, we will be discussing the original Gamera movies if they are coming back. If not, we still have we discussed Mechagodzilla, because that one was out of print, but we are going to be discussing the other Mechagodzilla movies that have been around, and Astro Boy, and we got a plenty of good stuff coming in a few months.
So are you going to be watching the FXX, like, million-hour marathon of The Simpsons?
Oh, of course. I already... You see, here's where it gets complicated. I have Verizon. We had Comcast, and now we have Verizon. I don't know... You know, we have, like, literally 1,000 channels, and then they become double and triple, and then we get music stations. I'm hoping, if not FXX on cable, I'll get the app. I mean, I have the DVD sets. I love the audio commentary. I have not spoken to Rachel since May or June. Unfortunately, I don't know how she feels, because I will be watching, and I'll probably be reviewing the Simpsons episode solo. It's a shame. I love talking to her about those episodes, but she doesn't like anything past season, I think, 15 or 20. She gets to a point where it's just like, The Simpsons just won't die. But I can't wait to talk about that crossover episode that's coming up with Family Guy. I've seen the 5 minutes of it. It looks interesting. So, right. And of course, I'm now going to be writing for Geekcast Radio Network, which I'm stoked about. So I'm actually working on a review on the Howard the Duck comic books, because Howard has a brief cameo at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy. So the comics, there are 27, I believe, and 17 have been released on Comixology. So I picked them up, and next week I'll be reviewing on the website on Geekcast Radio Network my thoughts of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that's coming out next week. So, yeah, and then I think Wyatt and I are going to be discussing, like we did with Bayformers, Bay Turtles versus Classic Turtles.
Okay, now stop right there. They are not his turtles. They are Libsman's. Libsman is the director. Bay is only the producer.
Yeah.
I am. It's not just you. I love talking to you, dude. I'm sick of everybody in general saying that they're Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja. If they were Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, he would have a giant sign under him saying director. His company is just producing the thing. I'm so sick of the internet blaming Bay for the damn turtles. It's not... I'm sure he's had influences over Jonathan Libsman, but this is Libsman's movie.
Well...
And I mean, look at his track record. Oh, my God.
Well, Megan Fox, though, I don't know. I don't understand the point of her being April O'Neil, but I will say one thing, though, about the turtles. I am impressed with them. I've watched a few scenes. I am actually stoked to see this movie. The only thing that I don't like is when they're in the elevator and they're dancing to the music. That feels a little bit strange.
Yeah, that is very... I think what they are trying to do there is they're trying to... No, what I was saying was I think that what they're trying to do there is that they're trying to mimic the elevator scene in Spider-Man 2. Hello? Hello?
I still got my ticket, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm here.
What I was saying was, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to mimic the scene from Spider-Man 2 in the elevator.
Possibly, but I am impressed with Splinter, as I said. I'm very impressed with Splinter. And... Right. Will Arnett, I'm sorry. I'm just not a fan of his. I've tried to get at him. And Whoopi Goldberg, I mean, what is she doing in this?
And She is Bernadette Thompson.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, she would have worked better as Irma. And...
No, what? I don't know about that, but
Or maybe Megan Fox. But I'm sorry. Megan Fox, after what she said about Spielberg, and I... I just don't get her. And that's just me.
Yeah.
But other than that, though, I like what the turtles look like. I am impressed. Even when Mikey takes off his mask and people were comparing him to Shrek, no, I like that. I like the fact that they're buffed up a little. And Shredder, well, we haven't seen much of him. There are now rumors that he's a robot. Who knows? They may go... I've heard rumors that Bebop and Rocksteady will be in the sequel. So...
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm stoked with the comics. I love what IDW did with them.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, I mean I have a lot of stuff cooking up.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that's gonna do it for this episode of Geekcast Radio. Up next is the final episode of the Syndication Nation Spotlight in episode 72.5 when we talk to the crew of Smeared Ink, the brand new podcast to join the network. Until then, unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It looks like Godzilla, but due to international copyright laws, it's not.
Still, we should run like it is, Godzilla!
Though it isn't.
Ah! You've just listened to Geekcast Radio on the Geekcast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio. Call the voicemail line 502 526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.